The work is going on in 22 countries, of which all of them but India are in sub-Saharan Africa. And we have found considerable success since 2009, which is when the initiative baseline was established. We have found a 38% decline in the number of new HIV infections among children compared to 2009. And some countries are making some very rapid progress. 7 countries have had a 50% or more reduction in new infections, and this is very encouraging. So you've got countries like Botswana, Ethiopia, Ghana, Malawi, Namibia, South Africa, and Zambia that have reduced new HIV infections among children by 50% or more since 2009.
The report also shows that access to treatment remains pretty low for children.
That's correct, and that's a really important point that we are trying to make. Some children do acquire HIV despite the best regimens. The best regimens we have right now reduce transmission to something around 2%. Now, in 2012, 210,000 children acquired HIV. But what we are finding is that access to treatment for children is much less than access by adults, which is a very tragic situation. For example, last year in 2012, 59% of pregnant women who needed treatment for their own health received it. In comparison, only 33% of children who needed treatment received it. So in essence, children were only half as likely as their mothers to receive treatment, even when both of them needed it, i.e. both the mother and their child needed it. The mother was more likely to receive it than the child. And this is for a variety of reasons that are quite well documented. But it's a very tragic situation. We must do more for children.
What reasons have you found out that makes children not access HIV treatment?
There's a number of reasons. One of the first reasons is that it's difficult to diagnose children, whereas adults can do an antibody test, which is a simple blood test, which you a finger prick and you get your results in about 20 minutes. For children, it's not that easy because children still have their mother's antibodies. So if they test positive at birth, they may be testing positive because they are reflecting their mother's antibodies. So you have to wait until children are older when the antibodies have worn out, usually at about 12 months or 18 months. So the best thing, therefore, is to identify the virus itself. Identifying the virus itself is more difficult. It requires more complicated laboratory equipment, more complicated technology, and many countries do not have that as widely available. Therefore, for children to know their HIV status, it is not as simple as you and I to walk into a VCT site and be tested, but instead a more complex process has to be followed where the blood is drawn for a child, it is sent to a laboratory, then the results are sent back. Things can go wrong in between. So that's one thing. The second thing is the access to treatment. The regimens for children are much more limited. In other words, the medicines that children have or children can use are much more limited than the medicines adults have. And then the fact that children are growing, they're changing. So the medicines they can use when they are younger changes as they are getting older. The regimens they can use as well as the dosages that they can use.
What about in the countries where progress is not being made? What efforts are being made to get them to reach where these 7 countries have reached?
In countries where not as much progress is being made, more efforts, better discussions with governments leading the way. For example, in Nigeria, they have chosen to focus on the key states that comprise the bulk of the HIV transmission to children. They have identified those states, focusing on those states. The same with a country like Democratic Republic of Congo. They have identified key areas where transmission is higher than other areas and are choosing to focus on those. So countries are zeroing in more on the problem, galvanizing further. They're training providers, healthcare providers, so services are better available. They are increasing funding to address the issue. Basically, task shifting and saying, how can these tasks be shared with communities? How can these tasks be shared in the context of a healthcare system so that we can serve more people? So there's a lot of innovation going on. There's a lot of technical assistance going on being provided by PEPFAR as well as being provided by the UN and others as well. So it's a global initiative where there's many, many actors and many players working together, being led by the countries.